Misery, it's such a lonely word. Every day is just the same. Misery, everything's awful. We will never get normal again. You know what I'm getting sick and tired of? The new normal. There are phrases that I hear now that make me really want to punch someone's lights out. Those phrases are the new normal, social distancing, we're all in this together. And I love these Hollywood celebrities. We're all in this together. Stay home. Look at me. I'm home. I'm in $1 million mansion. And I think this is great. And I think the rest of the peasants should share all the money. And I will think that's quite sunny and funny.
Frank, I don't think I would ever have to leave my house if I lived in a multi-million dollar mansion and had a pool and lived in the warm weather at all times.
Yeah, tell me about it. I mean, come on. It's ridiculous these celebrities just continue to preach you. And we're going to sing to you because we're celebrities. We're more important. Yeah, we are the world, we really need it. We all have a government thanks to China. We don't need anything but what we have in our possess. And everyone else will do it less. We're celebrities and we believe in now. We truly know we're better than the rest. We can sing a song and sing it really well. That's why we think everything is quite swell. If everyone lived the life of peasants, it will be nice. Peasants! Peasants who need peasants are the luckiest peasants in the world. Yes, I am Diamond Streisand, and I think they should close all laundromats. And everyone should wash clothes by hand. And this summer, turn off the air conditioning. I need it for my wardrobe. Peasants who need peasants are the luckiest peasants in the world.
Well, Frank, I think it's safe to say that you're officially fed up with the celebrities of the world.
Well, don't you ever hear the song that they sing when they have the Oscars?
We Are the World?
No. I'm better than you. I'm better than you. You're a dumb fuck. I don't give a fuck what you think about me. Because I'm better than you. I'm better than you. My shit doesn't stink. I'm better than you. Everyone should share if they really did care. But that's not my bag. I got a $30,000 of swag. I'm better than you. I don't even have to pay when I eat. You should be down at my feet. I'm better than you. Better than you. I'm better than you.
Frank, was it a specific post or celebrity that has pissed you off leading into tonight's show, or are you just fed up with all of them put together?
Just fucking fed up with all of them.
Well, you see what's going on now too, Frank. States are starting to reopen, especially down south, and we saw Jacksonville.
You know what the two last states are going to be to open are?
New York and New Jersey.
Those are going to be the last two states to open up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Those are going to be the last two states to open up. Garen fucking see it. The press has made such an art form of talking out of both sides of their ass. On one day they say, well, Donald Trump, he's acting like a dictator telling states to open up. When 5 days earlier, Donald Trump needs to put his foot down and tell all the states to close.
Yeah, it's like they want to have their cake and eat it too. We know how it goes.
It is like they are rooting for the virus.
Well, you see...
It honestly is like they are rooting for the virus.
Frank, Georgia, you see, they decided to open up hair salons and tattoo parlors.
Yeah, good for them.
Good I don't know.
I hope it works out for them.
I mean, I've been saying this. I've been talking to you about this for a while now, and I was saying, like, there's no reason why the businesses to where people can't work from home should open. And the ones that can work remote, like my business and a lot of, like, corporate jobs and stuff, like, continue to work from home, you know?
My job should not be working from home, let me tell you. They should open up the courthouse ASAP. We're doing the best we can, doing the court sessions on Zoom, but we need to get back to, we need to get back to court. The courts need to open.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you guys will probably open soon enough, at least within the month.
No, it's not going to be in May. It's not going to be in April. They're talking, I think May 15th will probably be the best case scenario.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
And as much as I hate that place, I hate working there. It needs to happen soon.
Like, who would have thought, Frank, that it would have taken a pandemic for you to miss the courthouse?
Well, doing court on Zoom is not fun. I don't have access to all the tools I necessarily need. I mean, we're doing the best we can. We did a few sessions yesterday. I mean, it's sort of online, too, so it's kind of crazy. But it just shouldn't be done this way. We should be back in the court. Maybe do a limited amount of the calendar, to shorten the calendar, do whatever we need to do in person, and just get it done. I mean, I think this is an essential business.
Yeah, definitely.
It's ridiculous that the courthouse is not considered essential.
I totally agree with you.
And it's not like schools. Schools, you could teach people different things. I mean, it might be a little tricky getting jury trials right now, trying to get someone. It's kind of hard to get social distancing within a jury box, but it's got to happen.
Yeah, Frank. I mean, hopefully we'll start to see some changes within in a month from now. By May 15th, hopefully things will actually start, begin phase one. And that we won't have to, take steps backwards if we see a second wave of this thing. Because that's definitely possible. We've been talking about it, like, when people do go back to, you know, to going outside and going to work and stuff, is there going to be a second wave?
And it's almost like they're rooting for the second wave. The second wave could come, and we'll have the flu next year, too, and it will be lots of fun. Many more could die unless we put Barack Obama back in the White House, and then he'll miraculously heal us with his golden voice. And of course, Chris Cuomo was seen out on the street when he's supposed to be isolating. There's a picture of George Stephanopoulos walking around without his fucking mask on, and he had the fucking virus. You saw that, right?
Yeah, I heard about both of that. That people
it was like on the cover of like the New York Post or something like that. One of those the New York papers.
Yeah, they think Fredo was faking it.
Probably is. He was on every day. He didn't even look sick.
Yeah, no, he looks great, actually. He did not look sick at all. Like, if you have 103 fever, like, you're not sitting upright and...
No, when you have 103 fever, you look flush.
Yeah, definitely. You have no energy, though, to be talking on the air like that every day.
No, I've had fevers like that. I mean, during Game 7 of the NLCS, 2006.
Yep. And Frank, I actually know some people who recently just recovered, and they really were very light symptoms, like a light fever and body aches, chills, loss of taste and smell, and a cough. And, they were fine and weren't hospitalized. And my friend's mom actually She got tested, and by the time she got her results back, 7 days after that, she had healed. She was positive, and she had healed. And then he had it, and then he healed up, and that was it.
You know, it hits people differently.
Yep. It hits different.
And we haven't even done full testing. Someone had estimated it's possible that the number of people that actually have it could be like tenfold more than have been actually diagnosed. Yeah. And if that's the case, that would put the death rate below 1%, which is at the flu level.
Yeah, well, it's definitely possible because there's so many asymptomatic people and, like, people who've had it and not known. If you're carrying the antibodies, like, that's what they're thinking. And that's why now they're increasing the antibody test, too, to see if you had had it.
I mean, are we prepared for the wave of suicides and depression and people whose lives are going to be torn apart after the virus is done?
Yeah, some guy apparently just jumped off a building in Jersey City last week, too.
Yeah.
I saw you tweeted, Frank. You said that the media is not going to care about the suicide rate going up.
No, they won't.
Because it doesn't clear the shelves.
They don't give a fuck.
Yeah, they don't pay attention to it if it doesn't clear the shelves.
No. The only thing they want is they want the shelves cleared. They want a nation panicked where they're watching the media, where you're entranced by the media. I mean, and the press conference with Donald Trump. Why do you want to give these people hope? It's not hope. It's dire. Shouldn't you be out here saying that it's terrible and horrible? And, the hydrochloroquine. You're gonna tear that apart. We don't want that to be successful, because if it's successful, you will be successful, and that's the last thing we want. If everyone gets cured, no, that's bad. No. We got to have people die. And then you have that shrill, shrew governor in Michigan who clearly is campaigning to be vice president.
What did he say?
What did she say?
Yeah.
Well, she's the one with that. That's putting down, like, the most restrictive, things. Do you know Michigan, they're not allowing people to even buy fucking seeds?
Yeah, I saw that. They're not allowed to garden or anything. Well, that's why they're having all these protests.
Now, why are seeds considered non-essential? That's food. People like to grow the seeds turn into vegetables. We're supposed to eat vegetables? I mean, if these people have their own house or have a area within their apartment or wherever, little areas where they could make trays of food, homemade food. It's food. They're not having parties. They're not having a garden fucking party of they're just have all the neighbors. All right, let's go planting. La da 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 da. Like the Amish. I mean, this is like fucking Pennsylvania deciding that the Amish barn raisings are banned. It's their own property. They're not going to the park and planting vegetables. They're in their backyard. Are you saying they shouldn't even be in their back fucking yard? Are we supposed to be like fucking jail fucking prisoners? Of course, they're letting all the prisoners out. And New York's crime rate is going to explode.
Well, Frank, they're actually in Summit, New Jersey. There was a car stolen the other morning. Like, really, it was, I think, at 4 a.m. And there was a police chase. And two kids from Newark, and they crashed into the cop head on purpose, and he's in critical condition in Morristown. The cop, broken hip, broken femur, broken wrist, and they called the two kids from Newark.
Shocking.
Yeah, you'll probably see them in the courthouse, Frank.
Yeah, probably. Of course, if they get arrested in Summit, they're in another county now. So we'd have to find a way to get them to jail from another county. But it's like they're gonna have the two jailbirds talking. What are you in here for? Murder, rape, planting,
violating social distancing.
You know, it's your own backyard. It's incremental. They're just gonna one day they're gonna come out and say, you know, you don't need that house. No, look at you. You're retired. Yeah, your kids have grown up and moved. We're gonna place you in a government building. Yeah, you might be a bad neighborhood, but you know. You have to deal with it. No, you don't deserve that house anymore. You're going to have to live in the standardized house. Sorry. And your property will just be left behind. And there are people that want the power to do this.
Yeah,
Make no mistake about it.
Yep.
AOC wants the power to do that. You see, AOC, you know, we should have no carbon. The oil industry crashing is a good thing.
Yeah, millions of people losing their job. That's a good thing. Now they could be the good proletariat, and they could read my favorite book, The Motorcycle Diaries.
It's insanity, Frank. Well,
I just don't trust them. I don't trust any politician. Period. But I trust them even less. Personally, government should be as least, the less good government, the better government. I mean, I personally wish the Libertarian Party would take off. I mean, we have too many fucking laws in this country. We shouldn't be, first off, all the ridiculous drug laws, all the ridiculous laws they had against gambling all the years, all the ridiculous laws against fucking adults in the sex industry. I say we need to take a stance of all the vices, personal vices, and just make them all legal and tax the fuck out of them.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you, Frank. Frank, as much as we go on about politics, and we have been for the last 2 months during this entire mess, we do actually have something to look forward to tomorrow night.
The draft, and of course, I'm going to be going live on two platforms tomorrow.
What are those?
Well, Barstool's doing a big draft thing. Barstool's doing a big draft thing.
You're going to be a part of that?
I'm going to be a part of that, and this is, let me see how what this is being run by. Hold on. It's Brandon Roan and Steve Shee, you know, he's been a guest of us a couple times.
Friend of the show, Stephen Shay.
Yes, Stephen Shay. You know how bad I am at pronouncing names.
Stephen Shee, yes.
Well, it begins with a C. I've never actually seen his name spelled out. I always thought it was Stephen Shee.
Stephen Shee.
And they're having a number of great people on their show will be commenting as they draft. And we're talking about KCPFT is going to be, and Nate are going to be covering the Redskins. Clem's going to be doing the Giants. Of course, I'm doing the Dolphins. They're going to have some big name guest. Tiki Barber is going to be a part of this. So everyone's got to watch this on Barstool. And if you can, also watch me on YouTube. I mean, immerse yourself in as much as possible. Because we're actually going to have fucking sports tomorrow. Something actually good. Ken Jack is doing the Chargers. Caleb, the Panthers. PMT, the Cardinals. Chaps, the Jaguars. Jeff Lowe and the Miz are doing the Browns. KFC is doing the Jets. Of course, Will Compton, the Raiders, Joey, the Niners, PMT is doing several teams. The Falcons are doing being done by Big T. KC is doing the Cowboys.
Smitty's doing the Eagles, and Dave's doing the Patriots at Dana White.
Awesome.
We're also going to have Riggs on the Saints. I mean, this is going to be something else. I mean, there's talk that Cal Ripken Jr. is going to be part of this, and Jeff Fisher. I mean, this is going to be huge. It's going to be that Willie Colon's going to be a part of this. It's going to be an event. I honestly think that this is going to be better than watching the draft on TV. I mean, you have all the fucking fart sniffers on ESPN, of course. But this is going to be fun. I'm going to be doing the draft, commenting on the draft and different things. But what I'm going to do also between picks is opening an old box of football cards from 1989 Pro Set, the definition of junk wax. This was a high-quality football card. The cards look beautiful, except they were so mass-produced and oversold that they're practically worthless.
Yep, that's right. I mean,
you can find these at almost any store. They were nice packs of cards, Pro Set. On the box, you have the picture of Boomer Esiason and Jerry Rice, and of course they have like Super Bowl collectible extra game pieces and a whole bunch of different things on here. I mean, these are beautiful cards, but it was just that they were so mass produced that it's basically a junk wax.
Yep, we were talking about it last week on the show, and I know how excited you are to open those tomorrow night.
So, between picks and different things, I'll try to interact as much as I can with the chat on YouTube. So I'm gonna try to do these both. The Barstool thing I really want to be a part of. So if I might have to cut off the YouTube every now and then just to go to Barstool. If I can't get both to work at the same time, but the Barstool thing really sounds exciting.
Yeah, it does. That's a really cool idea. And are they going to be getting your live reaction to the Dolphins picks, Frank?
Yes, they are.
And are you ready? Are you ready to be disappointed tomorrow night?
I already know they're going to fuck it up. They're now talking about picking an offensive lineman. Juwanji! We're going to pick Juwanji! Offensive line. We're gonna pick every offensive lineman. Then we'll trade them before they get good. That's how we run things here in Miami. We love to be mediocre. We are a team that is run by morons. We are gonna suck forever. That's how we like to run things here in Miami. We're never gonna be good again.
And with the first pick in the NFL draft, the Miami Dolphins select Jordan Love, quarterback, Utah State.
Jordan Love is such a reach. Jordan Love is such a reach. Now, if you could get him in the 18th pick, maybe. He's not a top five pick.
Guess who they're going to pick? Probably top five, though. I'm hearing it's going to be Justin Herbert. Joey Harrington.
You know if the Dolphins pick Justin Herbert, he will be the next fucking Ryan Tannehill, Chad Henne, dangling Chad Henne. Have you seen the Dolphins quarterbacks over the last 20 years?
Yeah, for the most part, yes. Jay Fiedler.
He actually was the best! He was the best since then!
Dante Culpepper, Trent Green, Cleo Lemon, Chad Pennington.
Since Dan Marino left, they had Jay Fiedler. Damon Hewer started a few games here and there. But Fiedler started 3 years in a row. And then he missed a few games here and there. They went with Ray Lucas for a couple of games when Fiedler was hurt.
Brian on SNY. Ray Lucas, the SNY analyst?
Yes. Ray Lucas, yeah. He played for the Dolphins in 2002.
Wow.
In 2004, they signed AJ Feely, who for God's sake sucked. Then they went for Gus Frerotte. Then they chose Dante Culpepper over Drew Brees. Then they did. He only played four games, and they went to Joey Harrington. Cleo Lemon was the starter the year they went 1-15, with Trent Green playing a few games and John Beck, some bum from BYU. Then they had Chad Pennington, who was there for a year and a half before Chad Henney went in there, and Chad Henney was horrendous. That's why I called him Dangling Chad, Pregnant Chad. Then they had Matt Moore as a backup, and Matt Moore was a backup was better than the starters. You had Ryan Trashy Hill. They had Jay Cutler that one year, Brock Osweiler, and last year was Fitzpatrick and Rosen. Can we get a good quarterback for the love of God, please?
Frank, I don't know.
I'm tired of mediocrity. I'm tired of 7-7. 7-7. Our first quite divine. Because winning is 7 and losing 9 is fine.
Frank, what is all this news and whispers about them trading up for an offensive lineman? Why would they do that?
Because they're stupid.
I heard it's all smoke, though, and that's what I expect, honestly.
I hear they're going to trade the 18, 20. Doesn't even talk that they're going to trade from 5 to the Jaguars and get Leonard Fournette.
Oh, God.
They're going to trade all 3 picks for Leonard Fournette. We're stupid now. But that might drive me to being a fucking Giant fan if they do something that retarded.
Join us. Come to the dark side, Frank.
I mean, for love of God, can we get some fucking brains in that fucking organization?
They have to go quarterback first pick. Even if it was Jordan Love, they can't. I know he should not be a top 10 pick, but they can't wait.
And if it's Justin Herbert, then I guarantee you in 5 years, we'll be tanking for Arch Manning.
That wouldn't be half bad, Frank, honestly.
I'm tired of mediocrity.
Tua should be the pick, and they may have to trade up to get him, but the injuries is such a big risk.
Yeah, but he's got the biggest upside. I think he's even got a bigger upside than Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I mean, talent-wise, he's right there with Burrow. Just, you know, Burrow's more of a sure thing, I think, because of the injuries. Definitely.
I've seen too many Oregon quarterbacks bust. I don't trust Oregon quarterbacks.
Well, yeah, most recently Heisman winner Marcus Mariota, who's now with the Raiders.
He's going to end up starting in Las Vegas. I almost said Oakland.
Yeah, Derek Carr had a good year on paper last year, but we all know he's the checkdown king.
Yeah, I don't think he excites Gruden.
No, there's a lot of rumors that they're going to trade up and get a quarterback too.
That's possible.
There's no way, though, especially if the Dolphins were to trade up, there's no way in hell they would be trading up to get a tackle and not a quarterback.
No. If they trade up, they're getting a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, they could get a tackle at 5.
These rumors are so dumb. Like, you heard the rumors yesterday that Justin Herbert, the Giants were interested in him.
That's no way. The Giants could trade down to, like, 6 or 7 to get him.
Want to know the only reason why there's those rumors is that the Giants, they did extensive work on Herbert, but they want a team to trade up. And like, or if they ever were to pick Herbert, which they're not going to, it would be like a Chargers, Giants, Eli, and Rivers thing, and they would probably trade him to the Chargers or the Dolphins and get an extra pick.
Yeah, but...
I don't see it happening. No. Frank, I'm really, and I trust Gettleman. I think he's a great drafter, a great talent evaluator. I am very scared of the possibility that the Giants draft Derek Brown. I will honestly be happy with like any of their realistic picks. Isaiah Simmons, Tristan Wirfs, Jedrick Wills, Andrew Thomas. That pick, if they were to take Derrick Brown, it would be devastating.
I think they're going to end up either with someone like Trent Wirfs or Isaiah Simmons.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of noise that it's going to be Tristan Wirfs from Iowa.
Yeah.
I heard that they love him.
That's the offensive lineman the Dolphins are supposed to get at three.
Yeah, could you imagine if they hopped him and traded up and to take Tristan Wirfs? I just don't see that happening. I don't think a lot of people don't think Tristan Wirfs should be the first tackle taken off the board. They think that Thomas and Jedrick Wills are more polished, which I kind of think that too. But Wirfs is a freak athlete. Did you know he had the highest vertical and furthest broad jump since 2003 for an offensive lineman?
You know, this reminds me of Juwan James. It reminds me of Tunsil. It reminds me of Jake Long. I'm tired of offensive linemen being the Dolphins' pick when they need a quarterback.
I'm trying to think back in it was the 2008 draft that they took Jake Long first overall?
Yes.
And what quarterbacks? Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco were taken that year.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to say that Matt Ryan's been the greatest quarterback ever. But heck, he won an MVP. He's taken the Falcons to a Super Bowl that they should have won.
Yeah, he should have a Super Bowl ring.
So he's been serviceable, and Flacco was good for a couple of years. And he was a little overrated, but he was good enough to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. There's so many different scenarios. I'm beyond ready for tomorrow night. I don't know about you, but
yeah, I can't wait.
Beyond ready. It's like a movie, and there's going to be a lot of drama. There's going to be a lot of trades, or maybe some surprising trades. Teams will move up. I keep hearing the Falcons. Speaking of the Falcons, I keep hearing that they are aggressively trying to move up to get Chase Young, but the Redskins don't want to trade their pick.
Yeah, because I think the Redskins really want Chase Young.
Yeah, well, draft guru Daniel Jeremiah, who, you know, everyone, when he talks, everyone listens when it comes to the draft. He was saying that the Redskins would be crazy as Tua. He goes, Tua is better than Dwayne Haskins, but the injury risk is too big of a risk, and that you have to take the sure thing, edge rusher, in Chase Young. It's like what the 49ers did with Nick Bosa last year.
I mean, the Dolphins need a quarterback. Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know his pattern. He's good the first year with a team, and he's god-awful the second year with a team. Next year is his second year with the Dolphins, so you know he's going to be atrocious. And if they think that Josh Rosen has any future, then he should have been playing all along. Josh Rosen is trash. Yeah. Last year was a year you throw away. Last year, if you really think Josh Rosen is the future, then he should have been playing every game, and you just go with the growing pains. You don't throw Ryan Fitzpatrick out there to win five games. So if Josh Rosen was any good in practice, they would have had him in there eventually, because you need to see him. And the fact that they seen him in for a year and he didn't start after a few games tells you something. And it's not the fact that Ryan Fitzpatrick was playing so good. Ryan Fitzpatrick did play well. But you know what? Winning five games meant nothing last year. It meant nothing. Nothing. And if Josh Rosen wasn't any good at all, then he should be gone. No, even thinking about Josh Rosen. He doesn't have the heart. He does not have the heart to be a quarterback in the NFL.
You know what stinks? The Dolphins, at least the way the season started, looked like they were on track to get Joe Burrow.
Yeah, well, that's how bad Josh Rosen was.
Yeah, he really is a bust. And remember all the armchair GMs 2 years ago saying how Rosen was the guy and the Giants have to draft Rosen, and then even last year saying the Giants had to trade a second round pick for Rosen. He's terrible.
There were a lot of people worried about his heart.
His attitude.
That's why the Cardinals quickly gave up on them.
Yeah, they said his attitude too. That was one of the things.
Yeah, well, he does not really want to be an NFL quarterback.
He also has concussion issues too.
He has the talent, he has the skill, but this guy that's gonna pull an Andrew Luck. He's gonna, if he played every day and he got hurt, he'd pull an Andrew Luck and retire, and you'll be left high and dry. I don't trust him. I don't want him. I want him off the team. I don't even want him. There are other quarterbacks out there that I take flyers on before I give him a chance.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry, Frank. I think they're going to have a new starting quarterback, and it's going to be their first pick in this draft.
Well, if it's Tua, then Fitzpatrick's going to start for most of the season, which is the smart thing to do.
I don't know. You actually think Fitzpatrick would start off the season as a starter?
Yes.
I feel like if you take a quarterback that high, he's kind of got to start right away. Unless you have a legit starter ahead of him.
No. Fitzpatrick's the veteran. You start him. You make sure that Tua is 100% ready and healthy. It's a redshirt year.
I don't know. I mean, they did just spend like a ton of money in cap space too, and you know they signed some players and.
Well, yeah, they should be improved, and with Fitzpatrick, if he's as good as he was last year, maybe they sneak into that seventh seed.
I just find it hard to believe that in a competition that Fitzpatrick will beat out Tua if Tua is healthy.
Yeah, but do we want to make sure that he's 100% healthy and ready to go?
Yeah. And they'll know that when he gets there, if and when there is a training camp.
And the Dolphins are the most suited with Fitzpatrick to give him that redshirt year.
Yeah, I mean, if he's not healthy, then I'm sure you're totally right that Fitzpatrick will, you know, be the fill-in and the stopgap there. But
Bud Light's doing this thing for the draft tomorrow where you could record your boos for commissioner.
Huh.
I think Roger Goodell's actually going to like this. His family should go down. If his family had some fun at all, they should go down and boo him every time he does a pick.
That's insane. Frank, you should do that.
So I'll boo him on my live stream. But I got to say this. I don't think Roger Goodell is the worst commissioner in sports anymore.
That would be Rob Manfred.
I don't think Gary Bettman is the worst commissioner in sports. Rob Manfred has proved himself to be a just utterly feckless, ineffectual commissioner. Now, okay, I understand maybe the Red Sox weren't as egregious as the Astros. They did take a draft pick from them. They did fine them. But Joey Cora, AJ Hinch, and the Astros GM, whatever the fuck his name is, I'm blanking on right now, were all heavily involved on a high level. I mean, Carlos Beltran, God only knows if he'll ever get a managerial job. AJ Hinch has won a World Series as a manager. Joey Cora, Alex Cora has won a World Series as a manager. Only suspending them 1 year opens the door for them to come back in 2021. Even if there's no fucking baseball season. That is a joke. That is a disgrace. I understand you couldn't suspend the players, punish the players because of the Players Association. But these are managers. They are not protected. The book should have been thrown at both of them. To me, they should be banned 2 full seasons, period. At least. And if there's no season this year, then they can't come back to 2022. Or 2023, at least.
It's also insane that the Red Sox only got a second-round pick taken from them, too. And get this, they punished the video play operator. They banned him for longer than Alex Cora.
That's a joke. That's a joke. That is a joke. Rob Manfred, you are a joke. Here's a little something you didn't know. Video operator for a Major League Baseball team. I interviewed for that job once.
I did know that, actually. That was back in 2000, wasn't it?
Yep.
Who knows, Frank? You could have been the good luck charm for the Mets in the World Series that year if they hired you.
Wouldn't that have been great?
Yeah, that would have been a cool season to work for them.
Yep.
Was that one of the things where, like, that was your dream job then, back then, right?
Yeah, to work with the Mets, of course.
Yep. Little did you know you'd be on their radar 20 years later. Because you talk shit about them nonstop.
They aggravate me. They fucking aggravate me. You know, you have fans like that are like sunny, everything's sunny. I want to buy a Danny Muno jersey.
No.
I like Danny Muno. I'm going to root for Danny Muno. Yay!
Yeah, well, it's like the fans rooted for like Ty Kelly and Eric Campbell. I hated them. Hated them. They were terrible.
Ty Kelly just didn't look like he looked scared at the plate.
He
wasn't awful in the field, and he was one of those guys that did play balls out, but he just looked scared at the plate. His stance was like one of the worst stances I've ever seen.
If you heard him talk, and like he's written a couple columns for Metsmerized, he's just a player. He had no confidence in his game. He was like, "Yeah, I'm not supposed to be here." Like, you know,
that came across.
Yeah,
that's the thing I hated about Ty Kelly. Was not the fact that he was terrible. Was that the fact that he looked scared to me. That was the thing that was more notable to me.
He accepted the fact that he wasn't as talented, and some guys use it to drive and motivate them and make them a better player, and for him, that just wasn't him.
But, you know, he did try. You got to say he did try, but it just something was just amiss.
He overcame a lot to make it to the big leagues, but just, like, he wasn't talented enough, and, you know, he accepted that.
I remember him on the Israel baseball team.
Yep. Those are his best days at the plate.
It's funny. I think when I hear the name Kelly, I think he should be on the Irish team.
Yeah. Frank, speaking of man fraud, he actually spoke today, and he's pretty confident there will be a baseball season this year, and I've heard some players and agents also feel the same way.
Well, that's a good thing. Now, the only question is, what's going to happen with all these bobbleheads I wanted to go get this year? All the games I want to go to next year, are you going to bounce them to next year?
Well, I hope they're maybe going to mail them home and refund you of your tickets this year.
I mean, they got to find a way for all the games I'm missing now. They got to find a way to compensate me.
Isn't that crazy, too? Like, we're in late April now already. We would have been a month into the season. Probably, Mets probably off to a hot start. Before they hit their May and June.
Yep, slot. I would have had three bobbleheads or four bobbleheads already. You say would no three bobbleheads because I would went to opening day. I would have went to all three games the opening weekend when they would have had Pete Alonso Rookie of the Year bobblehead, which is one I really really wanted. Jacob DeGrom back to back Cy Young bobblehead, which is one I really really wanted. I would have actually gone on a Sunday for that one, and Saturday. Would have been a Jeff McNeil bobblehead.
Frank, was that opening series against the Nationals, that Sunday game, was that the Jacob DeGrom bobblehead?
Yes.
I was supposed to be at that game, too. That was Stroman was pitching that game.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't care about the fans anymore in the stands. I just want baseball back.
Totally agree.
Yeah. The second part would be compensating. And if that means getting I don't have to pay a dime for next year's tickets, I could live with that.
Is it safe to say that the Mets, there's never been a year where the Mets have not gotten off to a good April? Doesn't it just feel like they always get off to a good first month of the season?
Yeah, they always seem to play better in April. And then, you know, actually, last year they wasn't too good in April.
They finished, they started good in April, and then they finished 500. They were on a losing streak to end April. Yeah. And by the end of May, they were getting swept by the Marlins. And then they climbed back to 500, and then June, they were just horrible again for the yep. Mickey era. The Mickey era where the team didn't show up in June.
Yep.
They had six. I think they had six wins his first year as manager in June, and they had nine wins last year in June.
Yeah. So
killed their season both years. But the end of May killed their season too when they were getting swept by the Marlins, and they should have fired Mickey right there.
Yeah, after the Marlins series, yes, I totally agree.
Speaking of the moron, how much did you love that gift you got in the mail of the I Heart Mickey Callaway t-shirt?
Just crazy.
That was awesome. Who sent that to you?
I don't know. I actually looked and see if there's anyone that signed it, but I don't know who sent it.
That's an amazing gift. I know you're going to miss him this year, Frank. I told
there's
you,
nothing
though.
Nothing to mess about him. There's nothing to miss about him.
You remember the Mets game last year where Todd Frazier hit the game-tying three-run homer in the ninth inning against the Nationals?
Yep.
Then Conforto hit the walk-off. They ripped his jersey off. Mickey Moron, Stroman pitched his heart out that game. Six innings, three runs. You know, he battled. Famous line by Mickey. He battled. Mickey leaves him in after two very back-to-back high-stressful innings, over 100 pitches, leaves him in for the seventh. Lead-off walk, and then gives up, and then brings in Justin Wilson to face a righty, and then that's it. Gave up the lead, and Stroman got charged with it. That was just classic textbook Mickey.
Yeah. I see that all the new uniforms are coming out for yes. NFL.
Yeah, what's your take on that, Frank? What's your favorites, and which ones do you think are ugly?
I got to see the Rams helmet. Did the Rams... how much did they have to give up to get the Chargers logo? I mean, we have X-Rams saying that they look like the Chargers. And they do.
Yeah. I don't know why they did that. Like, why don't they just stick... I like the horns. Don't you like the horns on the helmets?
It's still the horn, but now it's, like, partitioned.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't really like it.
And then they have the Ram head that looks like a penis. Or Dickerson said.
The Rams
uniforms are clearly the worst.
The Rams are going to continue to take steps back this year, Frank.
The Falcons look like an arena football league team.
Yeah, you know who has the best though?
The Chargers. The Chargers released a whole bunch of uniforms. A couple of them are good. I like the powder blue, and I like the dark navy blue, the all navy blue. And you know whose uniforms I actually like? Or a big upgrade, I think? The Patriots.
Yeah. I did like their uniforms.
I liked that the Patriots got rid of the stupid flying Elvis on the shoulder.
Frank, are these going to be, like, the only uniforms that are worn this year for each team? Or are these alternates? Like, what's going on with these uniforms?
Well, the Chargers released, like, six different combos.
Yeah, but are we not going to see, like, the classic uniforms that we've been seeing the last couple of years?
One of them is the classic.
Oh, okay. They do have one as the classic, and then these are their new alternates.
No, in fact, the classic is now the primary.
Okay.
I think the powder blue is actually going to be the one they wear most often.
Yeah, and that one's awesome. Everyone loves the powder blue.
Except the powder blue was like the first two that they showed in the line. So I think you're going to see a lot of the powder blue. So the classic is now, in fact, the helmet is actually the classic helmet with the number on the helmet.
Uh-huh.
So the Chargers actually went retro. So you won't see the classic anymore. The classic is now the normal.
You know what I like? How the Tampa Bay Buccaneers got rid of those ugly-ass uniforms they switched to in the past couple years and went back to their, like, their...
Yeah, they still got the well, they don't have the creamsicle yet.
Well, that's an alternate.
Yeah, but they still have the... I would love to. I would love them to get that stupid helmet rule, where you can only wear one shell for a year in the NFL. I mean, yeah. look at fucking Oregon. They wear 10 helmets every year. They're not hurt by it. I mean, they wear so many different. How many combinations does the friggin' does Oregon have? So I would really love to see the Buccaneers be able to crack out the Buccaneer Bruce white helmet every couple of years. And it would be funny to see Tom Brady in creamsicle orange.
Speaking of, what a crazy week added to an already insane offseason for the Buccaneers and Stephen Che, of course. Rob Gronkowski coming out of retirement and being traded to the Buccaneers. What do you think about that, Frank?
That really makes things interesting in Tampa. That really does make things interesting in Tampa. I don't know if they'll win the Super Bowl, but I think they definitely contend.
You think
I think Gronkowski... Did I... Hold on. Something wrong here.
Your sound just cut out, but you're good now.
I think Gronkowski adds one or two wins, which takes them from 8-8, 9-7 to 10, 11 wins.
Does he stay healthy, though?
That's the question, but I think it definitely makes Brady happier. I think Brady was not happy. I think that's what ended up happening in New England. I think all these years of frugal spending, that the fact that the Patriots didn't pay Gronk is what pissed Brady off.
Yeah, definitely. And
Brady retired and Gronk retired because he wasn't paid.
Yeah, and the Patriots offered Brady $15 million, and the Bucs are paying him what, close to $30 million a year?
Yeah. It was all after all these years of sacrificing the money, Brady said finally, I'm cashing in before I retire.
And Giselle wasn't happy. He said Giselle was like ready to, I think, leave him if he didn't make a change, and she wanted to be in the warmer weather. I know we want to see her in a bathing suit.
New England winters.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine a Brazilian model such as herself. You know she's worth like $400 more million dollars than he is?
Supermodels. Jeez.
Yeah, she's a super duper model, that's for sure. And then Gronkowski, his best friend, speaking of, Edelman must be super pissed. I heard Edelman unfollowed Brady on Instagram. You know, imagine how badly he wants to go to the Buccaneers.
If the Patriots crash and burn, you're going to see a lot of the SpongeBob memes of Brady and Gronk running and Squidward Edelman looking out the window.
There's already been memes of that. I do feel bad for Edelman, though. Like, I kind of do want to see him join the Buccaneers. There's rumors that they think the mock draft tonight on NFL Network, Daniel Jeremiah, has the Buccaneers taking Jerry Jeudy. Imagine that weaponry.
Tom Brady will never have weapons like that in New England.
Never. Imagine this, Frank. Gronkowski, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Jerry Jeudy, O.J. Howard, and Cameron Brate. And they might draft a running back in the second round. They could still get the LSU running back or Jonathan Taylor or DeAndre Swift. Somebody in the – they could still get someone in the second
round. Well, DeAndre Swift, I think Dolphins might get him with the 26.
That's possible. That's possible. And I think Jonathan Taylor might actually want to go into the Chiefs.
Yeah, Chiefs are going to go after a running back for sure.
Yeah, and imagine that Kansas City offense if they get Jonathan Taylor and they have all their weapons coming back from last year and Patrick Mahomes. I think the Buccaneers, Frank, need a running back, but they definitely need an offensive tackle. I think that's where...
They have three picks.
Yep.
And plus, they picked five, so they have two picks in the second round.
Well, yeah, the Dolphins will be set up nice.
Yeah, Dolphins have so many picks that they can't fuck this up.
But they might. Historically, they would. They will.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see about that tomorrow. Speaking of
Frank, speaking of Tom Brady, did you see that Brady, Peyton Manning, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger are playing a charity golf outing against each other next month?
Well, I guess we'll be tuning into that.
Yeah.
I mean, we all too. Did you hear the ratings they got for whatchamacall last week? Last Dance.
Oh, it was like 6 million on average, I think.
I mean, for a show like that to get that much ratings.
What did you think about that, Frank? You watched both episodes?
Yeah. Boy, they really don't like Jerry Krause. Really don't like Jerry Krause.
Oh, yeah. He took a beating.
I think he's dead, too, so he can't even defend himself.
Yeah, he died in 2017.
I mean, they really don't like Jerry Krause.
I mean, it's understandable to be mad at him for breaking up that dynasty when he did, but at the same time, he put it together.
No, but he was an ass.
He was definitely an ass. I mean, he said organizations win championships, not players.
I mean, he really was an ass. I mean, just think about this. His reasoning for breaking it up was because, well, we could win another championship or two, but then we'd have a long dry spell. 22 years later, hello, long dry spell. Hi.
Seriously, I don't get that. I don't get why teams... I understand the rebuilding aspect, but, like, I don't get why some teams break up their championship cores. When you win multiple titles, I don't understand why they break up their championship cores when they do. You milk that until the team's not good anymore.
I mean, he's the only one that ever did it in the style he did it. Jordan
was 34 years old, Frank. Pippen went on, I believe, to win a scoring title the next year.
I mean, it deserved to end naturally.
Do you remember, like, what was going on at that time, Frank? Like, did you pay close attention to the Bulls?
Yes. I mean, I want them to lose. I want the Jazz to win. But what was happening at that time was the NBA was about to implode. It was at its height, but it had a lockout the next year. And everyone knew that lockout was coming. I mean, they barely had a season. They barely did. They only played, what was it, I think, a 48-game season that year, 50-game season?
Yeah, it was like 52 games, I think.
I mean, the All-Star game was lost. The season didn't start till like February. So, yeah, that was the big thing that was hanging over everybody. But for them to just, and you know, if they had half a season, Jordan would have killed them. He would have won, they would have won a fourth in a row. No doubt about it.
I wish we had that chance to see that.
No doubt about it. But Jerry Krause was Squidward looking at all the other Bulls getting the accolades.
I just still can't believe Scottie Pippen made $2 million a year from his player salary.
Yeah. And that was Jerry Krause, all Jerry Krause and Jerry Reinsdorf.
Tony Kukoc and Luke Longley, like Ron Harper, all these guys made more than him.
And Kukoc was interesting. Kukoc was a guy who was a superstar in Croatia, and they paid a lot of money to get him to come over here. So he got a big rookie contract.
Jordan in the documentary was like, Tony, he's like, am I going to have to scream at you the entire practice? Like, Jordan did not have any patience for anybody.
Well, you ever heard a story about Kwame Brown, didn't you?
With him and Kobe?
I talk about Kwame Brown with the Wizards.
Oh, did the Wizards draft Kwame Brown first?
Yeah, number one.
I thought the Lakers drafted him.
No, he's drafted by the Wizards. Let me see, Kwame. He was number one overall pick the year Jordan went to the Wizards. And he was supposed to be like the mentor for, and he came right out of high school, too. And he was taken number one overall.
And what? And yet Jordan bullied him.
Jordan made him cry. Jordan, almost to the point of, we're really bad. That he would, like, destroy him. Like, rip him nonstop. Like, almost to the point of just, like, browbeating and bullying him. Jordan destroyed any chance this guy had of being good. And Kwame Brown's breakdown is one of the reasons why they started that one-year rule. Because he came out of high school and he was not ready. And the D-League was just starting up at the time, so you're not going to send anyone down to the D-League. And Jordan would just, like, browbeat him. And it was like they said it was disturbing the way Jordan used to, like, rip on him.
Yeah, I mean, we know what he was like. He used to ride his teammates.
And this kid couldn't handle it. In fact, when Jordan retired, that's why the Bulls said, we don't want you back as the president. We want you out. It's because of what he did to Kwame Brown. Because remember, he was first the vice president of the Wizards for a few years. Then he came out of retirement to play.
Yep.
And his treatment of Brown is why they eventually got rid of him. Because he was drafted number one overall, and it was a bad number one overall pick. Look at who they passed up on. They passed up on Tyson Chandler, Pau Gasol, Joe Johnson, Zach Randolph, Tony Parker, Gilbert Arenas. Gilbert Arenas actually played for the Wizards, but these are the guys the Wizards all passed up on.
Yeah, hindsight's 20/20, but Kwame Brown was a colossal bust.
Number one overall.
Yeah, that's insane. That's insane. And honestly, with scouting and technology and everything now, it's kind of hard to miss that badly.
Oh, here's another one in that draft. Richard Jefferson was pretty good.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course, with the Nets.
Shane Battier had some couple good years. It wasn't a great, great draft. Jason Richardson, Eddie Curry, Shane Battier. But he was such a colossal bust. And Jordan didn't help. He just was not supportive.
Jeez, Frank. Well, I mean, tomorrow night's going to be really exciting. We're pretty much out of time. We went over a little more, but we do have some Ask the Tank questions. Let me just pull those up real quick. I believe one of them was from our loyal listener, Cruz, wanted to know, Frank, what's your favorite baseball stadium to visit?
Well, it's obviously Citi Field.
Outside of Citi Field.
Well, I haven't been to many other stadiums. I would love to go to Wrigley Field.
That's funny that you say that, because Cruz actually said, if you haven't been to Wrigley, I'll take you and Pat to a game if we ever get sports back. That's a very kind offer. That would be really cool.
Yes, it would be.
I've actually never been to Chicago.
No, I've never been to Chicago either.
Wow. Yeah. Well, hopefully we're allowed to actually fly again without having to live in fear.
Yep.
Eastman McGovern wants to know, do you like grilled or boiled dogs better?
It depends on the hot dog, but there's nothing quite like, and of course I love the Rippers too, But there's nothing quite like that hot dog that kisses the flame.
Beautiful, beautiful masterpiece of art, Frank. Curtis Ward, you obviously friend of the show and friend of you too, Frank, wants to know, how do you feel about deep fried hot dogs?
That's a ripper. deep fried hot dogs are rippers.
Yep.
So obviously, right. I love them.
That's right. That's another thing, Frank. I've never been to Rutz Hut somehow.
That you have to do.
Yes. If they ever reopen.
I think they're open, but part of the experience is sitting in the parking lot or sitting in at the counter. Well, not sitting, standing at the counter or going into the dining section and eating it there.
Yep.
Because then you get that crisp right away. I mean, I live about 5 to 10 minutes away, so it's not too far of a drive home for me.
Is that what they call perfect location, Frank?
Probably.
In your book, living 5 to 10 minutes from Rutz Hut.
Of course, we've got to mention that my doctor actually died of COVID.
That's right. That's right. That was like first on the script tonight, and I completely forgot about that. What happened, Frank? And like, how'd you find this out?
Well, they had like a procession around his office on Monday, and he died over the weekend. I guess he was treating people, and he got he caught it while he was treating people at the hospital.
That's really sad.
Strange. It just really is strange.
And that's more of the reason, too, to, like, really, like, give credit to these healthcare workers.
They're the only ones that are really in danger, I think.
Yeah.
I think anyone that goes, I mean, you got people who are going to get it and who are going to be sicker than normal. And it's highly contagious. I mean, it just hits people differently. And people who are a little older might be at more risk. So maybe some of these get more of these, younger doctors trying to do all the grunt work. That might help.
Well, Frank, that's what they're scared of, like the overflow of the healthcare system, which they were able to put a clamp on. But
they put a clamp on it on 48 states. The only two states that really got hit hard was New York and New Jersey. And why is that?
So we have New York City.
Public transportation. They never shut down the subways. The subways' cars have still been packed like sardines. New Jersey Transit didn't start doing distancing until a week ago.
Yeah, which is crazy. It's like it's funny because like we had the best public transportation in the world, and then that actually wound up being our downfall.
Exactly. It's the public transportation that caused this.
In the end, we can all blame NJ Transit.
and the subway. I mean, there's just too many people on these cars. They pack them in like there's still people in there packed like sardines.
Yeah, that's crazy. It really makes me like never want to commute to the city, never live in the city, never take the subway again. Like, it's crazy.
And they don't clean. They don't clean these subways. They're filthy. You got all the homeless people living in these Penn stations. And
well, yeah, that's part of it too, Frank. The doctors were saying about how like a pandemic was inevitable, considering the major homeless problem in the country, like. They piss and shit in the streets. Like, there was bound to be an outbreak, especially if a pandemic, if a virus, a new virus came along.
I mean, and yet they want to ban people from planting fucking seeds. They want to ban people from parks, ban people from beaches. You can socially distance on a beach. You're not like you could sit on the beach and watch the waves and take in the cool air or walk on the beach. There was no reason to close these beaches. You just go to the beach, you practice social distancing. There's no need to close a park. You just go to the park and you practice social distancing. You can do both.
Yeah.
You really can. People could play golf if you could social distance. I mean, it's asinine, some of the things we've done. It's asinine. It's more, and that tells me it's more about control than stopping the virus.
Yeah, Frank. Well, hopefully we continue to flatten the curve as we move along. At least we have some sports tomorrow night, and I'm really looking forward to tuning into the draft and also tuning into Barstool's draft event. So we're out of time for tonight. And
Barstool's draft event, and of course, you could picture me doing the cards. I mean, there's going to be so many things going on. With the Barstool's event, my card opening, who needs fucking ESPN?
Exactly. Exactly, Frank. Who needs them? Like, we're one sleep away, and we are there. We're going to have a bit of a distraction. So take us away while we get a little vacation from the misery over the next couple of days. So take us out, Frank, for this week with a song.
This is the ballad of Rosie Ruiz. She won the Austin Marathon with ease. Of course, 40 years ago on Tuesday. And, of course, my song is on YouTube. This is the ballad of Rosie Ruiz. She won the Boston Marathon with ease. She didn't break a sweat. Oh, she didn't quite fret. In a time of 2:31. It was quite the fun, but oh, Rosie Ruiz, she took the subway, and she got caught.
Oh, my God.
You ever hear the story of Rosie Ruiz?
No.
I did a song for it. It was the honest date for Tuesday. She was this, like, con woman, and she first did it in the New York Marathon, and she finished, like, third or fourth to it. But she qualified for the Boston Marathon. And what she did is she ran like the first mile and then went into the subway system, came out, nearly finished, and ran the last mile. And she actually, everyone thought she won the Boston Marathon.
They gave her
all the laurels, they gave her the medal, they all congratulated her. And all of a sudden, they started people saying, I don't remember seeing her on the run, the road. The people that finished second or third says, she never passed us. How did she get there? And then, like, two students from Harvard said, yeah, she came from the crowd. She didn't run the race. And then they said that someone saw her on the train. And then they were interviewing her, and he says, now, when you're running, what are your intervals? Oh, well, I don't even know what an interval is. What's an interval? And, like, the man that won it was Bill Rogers, who won, like, the Boston Marathon, like, 5 or 6 times, is looking at her like, uh-oh, this is not good. Like, you're looking at her like, how do you not know that? And then she had like her shirt had barely any sweat on it.
Yeah, you think that would be the giveaway.
Yeah, she crossed the finish line and like, so act like she was tired, but she had like no muscle aches, like no physical signs that she actually ran a marathon. And like her story like fell apart over like the next few days, and they eventually stripped her of the title.
Oh my God!
But check out my song. It's on YouTube. The Ballad of Rosie Ruiz. Curtis Ford edited the video, of course.
Will do, Frank. Again, right. Thanks everyone for listening this week.
Rate, subscribe, and see you next week.
War! What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. War. Ah, good God. What is